There are two ways of life. Two. Give. Get. They are in diametric opposition to one another. And in fact, I'm going to move this down. And in fact, in diametric opposition to one another, we find society against God. God's not against society, all that, although he doesn't approve of our situation. He still loves us. But give and get are the two ways of life. Okay. Since there are two ways of life of give and get, and we're all going to inherit, the people of God, the children of God, are going to inherit everything. Each one inherit everything. Co-heirs with Christ. The only explanation that can be had from everyone inheriting everything and living a give way of life is we share. Without question, anyone who needs or wants within wisdom, we give it to them. We give of ourselves. We esteem them better than ourselves. This is what God's doing. He's sharing himself, and Christ is sharing himself with us. And what are they sharing? Okay, well, in Genesis 1, we find God day by day looking at what he had done. Let there be light. Let there be land, right? And he says, this is very good, or says this is good. He gets through to the sixth day when he's made human beings, looks at all of it and says, this is very good. So it's very good what he's done. We corrupted it, but it's very good, or perfect is another way of putting it. And if we're going to share that, what are we doing? We're going to share very good, God-like. And we're going to share it with everyone who will do that too. That's God's design. That's our purpose. Now you could say, well, that's all summed up in the word give. Okay. But we spent a little time on that to get going with this, because after talking about this for a while, you'll see why that makes sense, that we're going to share everything. And we're sharing God's very good life sharing. We're not just sharing ourselves, we're sharing his sharing. He's sharing us, think about it. We're his bondservants. We're his slaves. He shares us with everyone else who's sharing themselves. Present yourself a living sacrifice. How do you do that? You share yourself. You're alive. You're sharing yourself. All right, enough of that. The purpose of God's church. That purpose is hidden from humanity. Humanity hasn't a real clue at all as to what the purpose of the church is. Now, we don't have to turn there. Just let me just say what this says, and then I'll tell you where it is. For the body is one and has many members. Now, that makes sense. The body, you know, your little finger shares itself, its sustenance, with your stomach and your brain. See? The body shares itself with itself. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. Not hard to do. You understand the body. You understand the body. You get it. So also is Christ. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. At the risk of sounding redundant, that's the way God talks. He repeats himself for emphasis. And where that's at is 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12. It goes at that point through verse 14. There's actually a lot more there. So, when the church was started, it consisted of many members, but only one body, one church, of which Jesus Christ was the head. So here's the question. Is it unfair to the rest of humanity to do this? Or why a church now? We're talking about the purpose of the church. Okay, we'll go through this a couple times, but let me just let us hear this. Christ came, among other things, to call out selected and chosen ones from Satan's world, to turn from Satan's way into the way of God's law, and to be made into new creations, to reign with Christ when he comes to replace Satan on the throne of the earth. Don't need to repeat it. We'll go through this again. So why is there a church established by God now? What is the purpose of the church? That's your title. Sounds like that's a pretty easy question, pretty easy answer. It's absolutely hidden from humanity, and unless we are guided by God as he reveals it, it's hidden from us too. A great commission is being worked out by the Father. Through Christ, with the church, it is actually beyond human comprehension or even ability to imagine. The great purpose is revealed to God's chosen ones. And we're going to review that now. There's just three sections to this. We'll be done in, what, 4 or 5 minutes? All right. Number one. And you'll say, well, that's review. Be patient. Number one, the church's purpose is set in God's time order. The church's purpose is set in God's time order, not ours, his. Okay, first of all, God is the supreme creator. He is the superior. Capital T, capital H, capital E, the superior. He is over everything, that's over everything, over us. Every moment, every thought, every breath, every molecule, every orderly thing is from him. Why? Because he's sharing himself. That's where life comes from. That's where good comes from. God is the creator. He's supreme ruler over his entire creation. His government was repudiated by Lucifer, who became Satan, the adversary. And Satan ruled with the opposite way of life than God, which is rebellion, the strong survive, self-centeredness, conflict, fear, doubt, rather than sharing of God life for all. He had decided he needed to be in charge, and the result is the world and the history of it, of which we have been. Now, let's go back a little bit. Adam, let's start there. Adam, the first created human being, was given the opportunity to receive eternal God life. That's the tree of life. If you eat of the tree of life, you will live forever. If you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. You will surely die. Okay? Remember this? All right. Adam was given that opportunity. He was to do that in cooperation and obedience to God, of God, guided by, this is important, guided by God. He wasn't going to do this on his own. Well, God told me to do this, so I'll do it. No, it had to be consistently guided by God. Total submission to God's way, sharing all that's good. Adam rejected that. He was talked into it, but yes, he rejected that. This good life sharing way of God. And Satan now still rules, damaging the human family, which has been kidnapped and deceived into living the self-centered, hostile way of Satan. As for humanity as a whole, it was appointed at the time of Adam's sin his corrupting of creation, the perfect creation. For humans once to die, it was appointed for humans once to die, and after death, the resurrection. And then shall come the judgment. It's important, that time order. That's important. It is appointed because of what Adam did, that we all are appointed once to die, after that the resurrection, after death, and then the judgment. Hence, Passover and unleavened bread. What? Okay. This is about the creation of new life. What's the purpose of the church? The creation of new God life. I'm going to turn to Hebrews 9 a moment. Just a moment. Hopefully we won't have lots of scriptures today, but let's go to Hebrews 9. There might be a few, but not a lot. Hebrews 9. See, what in the world has this got to do with unleavened bread Passover? Hebrews 9, verse 26. Hebrews 9, verse 26. He then, would have had to suffer often. This is speaking about Christ's sacrifice for us. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world to pay for our sin. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrificing of himself. We'll look into what that means. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time. Apart from sin, he won't be dealing with having to resist Satan. You'll see why. Apart from sin, for salvation. And that salvation is ultimately going to be universal to those who will have it. So here's the question. If God is opening salvation to the few in his church only to give them salvation, when he excluded the preponderance of the world as a whole until later, then God certainly would be a respecter of persons. And that's been an accusation against the belief system that God's given us. That you think you're so special because you're called and understand all this now, and the rest of the world doesn't. What kind of God do you worship? Yet, turn to John 6, 44. What is the purpose of the church now? John 6, 44. By the way, there was a church in the wilderness. Israel was a church in the wilderness. Different. Not this church. Remember Christ said, I will build my church? If it had already been built, he wouldn't have said that. Okay, John 6, verse 44. John 6, 44. Christ said plainly, no man can come to me except God the Father will draw him. John 6, 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day. Okay. So it's up to God then to decide who he's drawing. He's not just going out to all of humanity and saying, you need to know the truth. You need to accept the plan of God. He's not doing that. He's drawing specific people. Why call some now? Because there's a time order. There's a time order for salvation. God's master plan calls for offering salvation and eternal life to every person, every born. But his plan calls for doing that in his time order. Those called out of the world and into the church at this time are called for a specific purpose. What is that? Well, a specific work. What's that? The specific work is to make possible the spiritual training to aid the conversion of humanity as a whole. Well, that's a little bit more information. All right. They're called at a time when they're persecuted, fought against by Satan, and by the rest of the world. That's even more information. People are called at a time when they're persecuted by Satan and the world to make possible the spiritual training in the conversion of humanity as a whole. The rest of the world will be called at a time when Satan is removed. And they are aided and helped by Christ, and the saints then made immortal in the kingdom of God. Have you ever thought of that? This was written in 1983. The rest of the world will be called at a time when Satan is removed, and they are aided and helped by Christ and the saints, then made immortal by the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God. They won't have to fight against Satan. We do. Satan has blinded the minds of an unbelieving world, a doubting, fearful world, and let's see it. How is it said? And we've heard it. Let's see how it's actually said. 2 Corinthians 4. It's in 2 Corinthians 4. This thing about Satan, the adversary, the accuser, the liar, the murderer from the beginning. That's not a railing accusation. That's quoting Christ. The one who repudiated God's giving government. God's life-sharing, good government. That one. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4, 3. And this is, of course, Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In other words, it's not veiled to the church. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, and the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, lest that, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Why is God hiding this? For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. This is a tremendous piece of information. Supreme supernatural achievement that God Almighty has undertaken to reproduce himself, bear fruit, and create more members of the God family, ultimately into billions of spiritual God beings. However, there are many faceted stages of development necessitated in this pinnacle of all divine accomplishments, the reason for humanity, the reason you were born, the reason you were designed, the reason you have thought, the reason you can be approached by God and you can respond. So God's plan is a step at a time, and God would not hurry. It's a master plan. It's happening in his time order, which has to proceed a step at a time. It's requiring patience on his part, never deviating determination on the part of this divine creator. And after Adam's rebellion, when Satan still has been on earth's throne, only God could have known how gradually and cautiously a step at a time must be taken in this procedure. Only God would know that. During the millennia, since Adam, God continued to call and prepare individuals, prophets, for instance, to become part of the foundation of the church, and his church, which would become a pillar and ground of the truth. In other words, the only truth on earth, the only foundation of truth now in this society of a repudiating super being, repudiating God's way of life, the only way to know what the truth is. You want to see? 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3. And the more we look at this kind of thing that we're about to see, 1 Timothy 3, the more we look at this, the more we realize this isn't about my personal salvation only. As a matter of fact, that's a very small part of what's happening here. Whether this is convenient for me or hard for me, whether this is something I understand or don't understand yet, this is bigger than me and God. It's bigger. What is this pillar and ground of the truth thing? Let me find it again. I can't find it again. 1 Timothy 3. Okay, here we go. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy 3, 15. Well, actually 14. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, verse 15, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth, or reality is the best way to put it, I think. This is what holds up, and this is what the pillars that hold up the reality are founded on, the church. You say, well, that's the purpose of the church then. No, that's a purpose. There's a bigger purpose yet. Also, we need to solve this. Let's turn over to Hebrews 12. Go over to Hebrews 12. What had the church been? What was it in the very beginning? What was the understanding of it? It's pictured in God's holy days, what the church is. The third holy day. The first actual harvest. The beginning harvest. Mortal human beings being translated into spirit-composed God beings. That's Pentecost. And the church was instrumentally preparing human beings to be in that resurrection for a reason. To be used with and under Christ in completing God's amazingly wonderful purpose of serving humanity, sharing themselves, reproducing God, and ourselves, actually, because we've been members of God's family, too. However, the church is now begotten, the beginning of being born again. We're children of God, actually, have his name on us. The church shall be the firstborn then. Hebrews 12, Hebrews 12, verse 22, Hebrews 12, 22. Hebrews 12, 22, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, not Jerusalem in Israel, the heavenly Jerusalem, that's who you're coming to an innumerable company of angels. There's no way to number them, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of all just men made perfect. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. In other words, there's a group that will be in the kingdom that God is preparing something with them now, and the rest of humanity won't be there then, yet, not yet. What's he doing? He didn't call to salvation the public whom he preached to. You see, and we don't turn there. Matthew 13, in Matthew 13, 10 through 16, he talks about how the parables in Matthew 13, 10 through 16, Matthew 13, 10 through 16, he talks about to the apostles, to the disciples at that time, he tells them, listen, the reason I'm speaking in parables is to hide, to keep from humanity what I'm revealing to you, because guess why? It's been given to you to know this, which many have over this millennia desired to look into. Many righteous people have desired to look into it. They couldn't understand this. You now can. I can, but not on our strength. It's because God says, okay, now you're going to understand this, because you... You think about it a minute. Just think. Anytime God shows any of his servants something, That means he's going to put them through things. They needed to know that. Okay. Let's go back to Revelation 5. Revelation 5, please. There's an all-important reason why God's plan, a step at a time, did not as yet call for saving the world. There's a reason for that. God first called out the church, out from this age, out from the corruption of it, out from the distraction of it, out from the temptation of it, out from the thinking in the way of it, to not be accepting of the approval of others. Said, well, yeah, but we have to have a good reputation. In God we do. We don't live for the approval of others. Imagine, think a minute. The night Christ is about to be crucified, they're spitting on him, calling him names, hitting him with things, telling him he needs to stand up if he's king of the Jews and take his robe and his crown. What's he do? He feels very depressed. Now he doesn't know if he's going to have a Twitter account anymore. He is actually maybe probably going to probably just give up entirely. No, he does nothing. He doesn't answer. And those who watch this are just marvel at this. Why doesn't he answer them? It doesn't matter what they say about you. What God says matters. The world does not matter about your opinion, your approach with God. It doesn't matter. It didn't matter to him. He did say, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. He loved them, but what they were saying didn't make any difference in what was happening, nor does it to you. This world can't own you, guide you, make you a slave. Why would that be? Are you trying? Are you learning something about this world? Rejecting it and its leader? Why would you do that? Why would you reject the corruption of this world? Why would you do that? Well, God says I should. It's how to live. It's what righteousness is. But why though? Why not just leave you alone? Come up in the kingdom. Why do this to you? You're more important than you think. That's why. Let's keep going. There's this time order here. And down here too, here we go. There's an all-important reason why God's plan, which is a step at a time, did not as yet call for saving the world. First, he called out the church to be converted and changed to become something. Changed to become something. Mr. Flamin actually said it. That's why I said this was heading in this direction. Revelation 5, verse 9. Revelation 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song. This is in heaven. And they sang a new song, saying, you, Christ, are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God. Or, as some translations have it, priest kings. One thing. It's a priest king. Like Christ. Like Christ. As if these people went through the same thing he did. So consequently, much of the truth has been revealed to the church because they are doing this and they need to know what they're doing, which is being trained to assist Christ in saving the world. But the time then hadn't yet come to reveal this truth to the world. So the first point today is that the purpose for God's church is set in a time order, God's time order. The second point is that the church's purpose involves Christ overcoming Satan's rulership. The church's purpose involves Christ overcoming Satan's rulership. Now, you know this, but let's just put it in the bank. On trial for his life before Pilate, Jesus was asked, "Are you a king then?" They kept telling him that, you know, he's calling himself a king. So he said, "Well, are you a king then?" And he said, "You say I'm a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause I came into the world." Well, wait a minute. Then why wasn't he the king? That's in John 18:37. But in John 18:36, it says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Well, then what's he a king of? You know, he's king of the kingdom. He's king of the family on earth. And he was God. Let's turn to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. By the way, Ephesians is very rich in church foundation, what it is, how it works, why it's here. Ephesians is just packed full of this. But in Ephesians 3 is something about God, about Jesus Christ. Why was it necessary that he be actually God in the human flesh? Why was it necessary that he be God, that he be human? Well, here's why. Ephesians 3, verse 9. Ephesians 3, 9. "And to make all people see what is the fellowship of the mystery." Fellowship of a mystery. "Which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God," or due to God, he hid it, "who has created all things through Jesus Christ." Now, this relates not just John 1, where it says that Jesus Christ created all things, and by all things were created by him, and nothing that was created was not created by him. This connects the creation to the church. This connects the creation to the church. When Jesus was born as a human, his life as our maker was creator before he was born, and his life was greater than the sum of all human lives. So, at the beginning with Adam, as he started to corrupt the society, and that's God's word, and ultimately the earth was corrupted, and we have been corrupt and corrupting. We've been corruptors. That's what sin is. We're actually rejecting life sharing. We're rejecting the idea that we can inherit all things and share each other. Imagine a society where nobody takes anything, except when someone gives it. What kind of society would that be? Peaceful, unified, impossible now. That's God's society. That's why he's hallowed in heaven. That's why our Father in heaven, hallowed is your name. That's why he's hallowed, is because he shares everything. Everything's coming from him, and all who are around him understand this. It's a concept that's so amazing. They're doing it. We're learning it. How? Well, the Holy Spirit, the Word, we fast, we pray. We're rejecting Satan. That's how. We're rejecting Satan like Christ did. And we're doing it now when the rest of the world doesn't even know about it and won't have to in the kingdom. Oh, we are different. Yes. How different? So Creator God began to redeem a vast humanity, condemned to the penalty of corrupting creation. What's the penalty of corrupting creation? To not exist in creation anymore. If you corrupt creation, it's going to be corruption will be removed. If you're a corrupter, you'll be removed. If you are a corrupter and you wish to change, the corruption will be removed from you. Satan will be removed. You will overcome Satan by Christ, and you won't have to die. But if you have decided, and I have decided, that we are not going to be allowing ourselves to be cleaned of our corruption, that's death. That's removal from creation. So he created us. We're allowed to continue on with him if we work with him. Not just, we're forgiven, we're fine now. That's a giant lie. He is our spiritual savior. When the angel came to Mary, he said, actually he said it to Joseph, she'll bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now that sounds like, well, that's a very religious thing to say. No, he's going to literally save human beings, ultimately everyone who will participate, in getting rid of their corruption, their corrupting ways, their corrupting thoughts, their corrupted life. Get rid of it. How? By making them new. By making them new. Some now, who also have to overcome Satan in the process, some later. Some billions later. So, if you look about the tree, you think about the tree of life a minute, that symbolizes the spirit, the eternal life. And we've been cut off. Humanity's been cut off from that tree because we rejected the tree of life. And God said, you can't get to it now. So the spirit has been cut off. Until the second Adam removes Satan and restores the government of God on earth. When the second Adam does that, Satan is removed and corruption is gone with retraining of the rest of humanity. Jesus did not come to save Satan's world while Satan was on the throne of the world, deceiving the world. Jesus is going to save the world at his second coming. Satan will be put away. And we have to ask ourselves, then why did Jesus more than 1,900 years ago come? Well, he didn't come to rule. He didn't come to reign over all nations, not to save the world. Satan still rules over all that. Why did Jesus Christ come? You know, don't forget now, the church's purpose involves Jesus overcoming Satan's rulership. So we have to know why he came. We'll have a list. You want a list? Here's a list of five things, why he came. Okay? It's obviously not extensive, but five things. His human birth was the arrival of the second Adam, because a human being had to overcome Satan by cooperating with the Father to overcome Satan. Have you thought of it that way? A human being had to overcome Satan by cooperating with the Father to overcome Satan. Okay, let's go. One, the first reason Christ came, to qualify where the first Adam failed. To qualify for something where the first Adam failed, to replace the former archangel Lucifer on the throne of the earth, ruling with the government of God. Somebody has to rule the earth. Somebody has to rule it. And there had to be a qualification to rule it. That's the first thing. The second Adam had to come to overthrow or replace or qualify to replace Lucifer, who had turned into Satan. Second, he came to announce the future establishment of the kingdom of God. Well, didn't they know about the kingdom of God before? Yeah, they thought it was an earthly kingdom. He talked about the establishment of God's kingdom over the whole earth and ultimately becoming spiritual kingdom, and He was here to teach the prophetic good news, or the gospel, to the chosen future family. Not to the world, but to the chosen future family, which he's still doing, right now even. So the second thing is to announce the future establishment of the kingdom of God. The third thing, he came here to take on himself as our direct creator the penalty for our corruption by actually being removed from creation instead of you, instead of me, instead of all of us. He had to die on the cross that we might share in the new world that he will make in us, through us, with us. The fourth thing, to be resurrected from the dead by God, trusting God would do that, making possible eternal God life. It hadn't happened before. Think about it. He's the only human ever resurrected to spirit. There have been resurrections. He did it himself. But not to the family of God, not spirit. He's the firstborn among many. He wasn't spirit right away either, apparently. We don't know. Not sure. But he when he ascended, he became spirit, or was already. For the people of God, after his second coming, for all who are willing, of all humanity who have ever lived on this earth, the idea is he was resurrected from the dead by God to make eternal God life possible for everyone who will have it. And then the fifth thing is to establish God's church. That's what we're talking about. And the establishment of God's church is to be trained to rule under and with him and do to him, in him. We aren't being trained, get our teacher certificate as a God member, God family member, and then we get a couple of cities and go teach in them. And once in a while, we make a report back to Christ. That makes no sense. That's the way humans think about stuff. This is about ruling with him. He follows us. He precedes us. He accompanies us. He's with us at all times. I will never leave you. He is our Savior. He is our brother. He is ultimately our husband and will rule with us. And rulership is different, by the way, in the family. Now, without going there, well, you could go there. Yeah, go ahead. Go to Matthew 4. Which is, by the way, Matthew 4 is a remarkable study in our relationship with God and with Satan. It's a remarkable study. Anyway, we don't need to get into that. We'll be here quite a while. Let's not do that. Matthew 4. So Christ had fasted 40 days. Now, let's think about the time order here, right? When did he start preaching the gospel of the kingdom? When did he reveal that there was a gospel, a good news of the kingdom of God? Was it before this? Before Matthew 4? Before the trial with Satan? Was it before this? No. Why, though? I mean, how come he didn't just tell everybody when he was 12 in the temple? Why didn't he tell people when he was a teenager? Why didn't he tell people when he was in his early 20s? Why didn't he? Because he had to do this first. Matthew 4. He starts out with the first part of the trial where Satan says, you know, you've been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And I know if you're God, you can just turn these stones that are here into bread. By the way, think about this. He's out in the desert, so far away into the wilderness from anybody or anything, being weakened by 40 days of fasting, he wouldn't have had the strength to get to food or water. He's at the mercy of God. And here comes this fella who says, well, you know, if you're God, just turn these stones into bread. You could do it. And his response is, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God that proceeds from the mouth of God. Some reasoning there out of God's word, which he is. And then Satan says, okay, all right, here. Why don't you just throw yourself down and the angels will bear you up, throw yourself off a high precipice and angels will bear you up and that'll prove you're God. But see, what that is saying, God, you owe me protection. I demand you give it to me. And he says, well, I'm not going to tempt God. And still Satan won't leave it. And then this happens. And then this happens. Matthew 4, verse 9. Satan says, and all these things I will give you. He takes them up, shows them all the nations of the world, all the kingdoms of the world. He said, all these things I'll give you if you'll fall down and worship me. In verse 10, then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Extraordinarily powerful, but very efficient explanation of what just happened. Satan just lost his job. Right there. And you, with Christ, just got a promotion. Because Christ defeated him, and you're with Christ. And you're overcoming Satan with Christ. In this age, when in the next age, no one will have to do that. He didn't repudiate. He didn't say, you don't have all the nations to give to me. No, he does. He does. So how does this work? Well, James 4. Let's go back to James 4. How does this work? Well, it doesn't work like we would think, like a human being. Well, you know, I'm getting my training now. I've got my new position. And of course I'm just in school, just not learning much. I'm just trying very hard to get my certification as a member of the God family. Get my license. Qualify. James 4:7. How do you do it? How's it work? Therefore, submit to God. Submit to God. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Yes, he'll flee from you. Wow. You actually have the same relationship because of Christ with Satan that he has. You leave because I'm connected to Christ. Your tricks don't work here. And I'm not talking about taking pride in that or being powerful over that, but only recognizing God in you over that. And a product of that trial that Christ did in defeating of Satan is the church, which God's chosen ones are. They used to be of the world, they used to be in the course of the world, and they're not anymore. It actually comes down to this. All this following of the church, all of this fellowship with the church, all of this leading of the church, all of this protecting and inspiring and dying for and living for and in the church is due to and because of Jesus Christ. We didn't make us. God created us. We didn't make us. We're not making us now. So the third thing to know today is the purpose of the church is to restore God's design society. The original design society as he built it, created it, intended it, it will be. Your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. The purpose of the church is to restore God's design society. Ephesians 2. Remember I said about Ephesians is like that about the church. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 21. Ephesians 2, 21. Why the church? Because just like in the wilderness, the tabernacle was a dwelling place for God. The Shekinah glory, the Shekinah glory was in the tabernacle in the wilderness, and people could tell where God was. They have to be able to tell where God is now. Ephesians 2, verse 21, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple. Joined together, growing into a holy temple, separate temple from all other things, because of, due to, in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. God wants to live in the church. That's one of the reasons he's made it. He's living in it. It's a spiritual organism. It's the bride of Christ. It's a temple to which he's coming. The Messiah, and he alone, would be able to overcome and conquer Satan. No one else could do it other than the Father. And he could do that as a human being to qualify to replace Satan on the throne of earth. And only through him could the sons of Adam be reconciled to God. Receive God's Spirit. Become God's sons. Become the God beings by whom God would finally reproduce himself. All of this through this being known as Christ. God called and prepared the Old Testament prophets and still calls and prepares the church to overcome Satan now. And as those back then and even now are blinded, uncalled, and cut off from God, they have not any reason, nor are they expected to overcome Satan. Because, yep, Revelation 3. Revelation 3. How many times have we read this? How many times have I seen this and not asked a simple question? Let's read it first. To the church in the 21st century, Jesus Christ says, Revelation 3, verse 21, to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. Here's the question. Jesus Christ was sinless. He overcame. What did he overcome? Read it again. To him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. Overcome what? We just saw it. He overcame Satan. Even as I also overcame, that's our job, overcome Satan. Not just the way we're being saved to get into the kingdom, but as Jesus also said, to be kings and priests, or priest-kings, ruling with him, under him. So why was the church called first? Because Christ is the firstborn among many brethren, and we're the brethren. Before Jesus could qualify to become the Savior and the future King, it was necessary for him as the second Adam to do what the first Adam failed to do, to overcome Satan. You think, well, why couldn't Adam do that? He didn't yield to the Father. He didn't yield to Jesus Christ, who was standing right there. He didn't. So he couldn't have the strength to overcome Satan. Satan comes in and says, well, you don't need to believe that. You're not going to die. You eat of that tree there, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Oh, well, let's do that then. And oh, by the way, Adam wasn't even deceived. He knew what he was doing. If the church is to rule under him, if the church is to save the world with him, it's also necessary for the church to go through the same process he went through. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me away from here. It was necessary that the church be called at a time when each member had to turn from, resist, and overcome Satan with Christ. Otherwise, we of the church wouldn't qualify for this position, this wonderful position of becoming king, priests, and priest-kings with Christ in the kingdom and ruling for 1,000 years and then going on into eternity. This explains why the church is here now, why we're called now. It's the reason for the church now, and its great purpose. That's the reason we're here. But here's something else. You find it, what I want you to see. It's important for you to see this. Verse 9. Okay, here we go. Backwards. Yeah, okay. Understand, please, that the church's purpose, the first thought we had was that the church's purpose is to set in God's time order why the church is here. It's how it works. It's in time order. The second thing is that the church's purpose involves Christ overcoming Satan's rulership. And the church does it with him. And the purpose of the church, the third thing, is to restore God's designed society. Okay? Now, when we take a look, if I can find this here. When we take a look at this, that he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, it's important for us to understand simply that in Revelation 1, Christ is saying that. He's saying that we're made to be kings and priests by him in the kingdom, and that we're growing together to be a holy temple in the Lord, right? But let's go back again to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. We're going to finish on time, by the way. Ephesians 4. A verse we've said, seen, understood, have no problem with, and it still means exactly what it says, but it very well may mean more than that. We're going to be kings and priests. He's going to make us that to God and his Father, his God and Father. And you go into Ephesians 4, and this is about the organization of the church, right? Right? Okay. And he gave some, right? That whole section. Verse 11, go down to verse 11. And he himself, verse 11 of Ephesians 4, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And we understand that the reason that ministry is there is for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Huh? Are the saints going to have a ministry now? What did we just go through? That he's going to make us kings and priests, priest-kings. The job of the church, in addition to resisting Satan, is for equipping the saints for the work of ministry. The saints commissioned ministry when they're king priests, priest kings, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Does that sound like now? No. But that does sound like the kingdom. So based on what was just said here, it does follow that we are being told by God how to conduct ourselves in the church. So in verse 17 of Ephesians 4, verse 17, we're there already. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles, the rest of the world, walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned, meaning you haven't so experienced the Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is due to Jesus, then you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt, there's that word, according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ forgave you. The church, the called out ones out of Satan's rulership, he has no claim on you if you won't let it be a claim. We aren't slaves to him if we don't yield to him. If we yield to God and through Christ, then that's how we defeat and overcome Satan, just like he did. And that's why we take the Passover. That's why we take unleavened bread, because this is Christ who makes it possible to remove our corruption by his sacrifice, which we accept, and to put in us unleavened Christ, just like him, so that we will be like him. 1 John 3, we will become like him. He has built his body with him in loving rule to teach and guide with him, perfectly esteeming God's very good creations. He has made us to be his family. He will have that done. And that is the purpose of the church.